Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Here to have a korero with George Henderson from the New Existentialists. We're talking to George about the band's new record, Bad Astrology, which is out now. George, you are coming to us live from West Tamaki Makaurau. How are you doing, buddy? You okay there? You there, George? Hey, man. Oh no, I think there's some technical
killed
issues.
Killed my sound.
There you go.
I can hear you, correct.
You can hear me okay?
I can hear you good, thank you.
Cool, no worries. How are you doing, George?
Oh, I'm doing fantastically well, yeah. Just sitting on a nice, hot West Auckland day.
Mm-hmm.
At the back of the shopping mall. Nice, quiet spot.
Nice. How is Tamaki Makaurau treating you? How are you finding it?
Oh, it's pretty cruisy.
Mm-hmm.
I live in West Auckland. The New Existentialists are based in West Auckland, and it's pretty much bush and, you know, bush and kind of like nicely kind of degraded urban areas near it that are kind of like, I just kind of like, yeah, it kind of feels like home.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I'm seeing hearing a bit of feedback. I'm not sure if that's, oh, that's me. Oh, no. Ruh-roh. My microphone seems to be doing something horrible and annoying, which is not fun. I saw on your Substack that you describe yourself as a barbarian gatekeeper. I was wondering where that term came from.
Yeah, the reason I have the Substack is to like talk about music that I love. Mm. And a lot of this music, like, it's not being played on the radio. It's not being talked about in the kind of circles that I move in, of the people who are supposed to be interested in, you know, on the fringes of music and new music and stuff. And so I just thought, well, you know, like, damn it, I want to kind of change people's taste. And I want to change it from the outside, you know, like from the position of being the outsider. And I just thought that was a neat image, you know, like, instead of the Bulgarians at the gates, well, the barbarians, managing the gates and saying who gets in.
True. I like that approach quite a lot. Oh my goodness, what was I going to say? It's a fun read going through your Substack. You've got a very elaborate article which describes how you wrote this album, and it gives a song by song breakdown of the record. And one thing I really love about this is that you describe some of the influences, and on the song, I think it was Invocation, you describe how the album by Gianni, who is an Australian trap metal artist, really, really inspired that track. And I think what was really interesting is you said that that album, I Hate People on the Internet, I think it was called, was kind of a once in you know, one of these albums that you hear every 15 or so years, and it changes how you perceive music. So I want to know, how did that album change your perception of music? How was it one of those kind of foundational texts, and how did it influence the track Invocation?
Yeah, well, I guess when I first heard it, which was like following a rabbit hole from some other music I was listening to, which was a bit cruisier, it was just so abrasive and so kind of like, you might say punk, but in terms of someone who didn't even know what punk was and came across it, you know, I was just like, no way, yeah, no way is this for me. But then I was like, there's something going on here. There's like a lot of work gone into this, and there's a reason for this, and I want to know what that reason is. And then as soon as, you know, after I listened to the whole playlist, I was like starting to get it, and I just wanted to learn more and more and more. And it really gave me a way to understand what it's like to be alive on the internet today, you know, what it's like to be kind of born into a world with the internet, I guess, and kind of, and how things like metal, which to me is a familiar idea, but there's nothing on that album that was familiar to me until much later, and I went, okay, right, this is actually a version of metal. Like, I can see where you've listened to Black Sabbath or nu metal and stuff, and I can see how that's worked out, but it's not obvious at all. And I really like that.
It's sort of deciphering kind of a code almost.
Yeah, that's right. It's deciphering a code that turns out to be a key to everything else that you don't understand. It's one of those sort of Rosetta Stone moments for me.
I think albums like that are so fascinating because as you said before, they do feel very internet-based, and the internet, if it's done anything, has kind of collapsed everything in on itself. So you have artists like Shiani or a JPEG Mafia who just combine from so many different sources to make kind of almost genreless music, you know? You can't really define it. It's very postmodern.
Hmm. It's genreless, but you can see things you know in it. You can see all these little...
Completely.
It's like someone's made a mosaic out of kind of, you know, and part of what's gone into that mosaic is, you know, the plates from your family home or something, you know, and you can see the patterns in them, and you can... and but they're mixed up with other things and help to bring it all together and help to kind of show how these things are linked up in different ways from the traditional ways, I guess.
Mm-hmm. One thing I particularly like about this record is that there's a fair amount of cyber dystopianism. You've got the track Last Days of the Internet, which is a bit scathing when it comes to, I guess, the legacy that the internet has kind of left on humanity, as well as that you've got 500 Year. And I want to, do you think that we are going through the last days of the internet at the moment?
Well, you know, I mean, I really love the internet. Like, it's brought the world to me in a way that, with my lifestyle, I could never have experienced before. Mm. But I think what's going on, there's a kind of a tragedy of the commons aspect where all these kind of bad actors are moving in and trying to kind of monopolize parts of the internet for themselves, for their own profit making. And it's pushing off the people who is colonizing a place that was settled by a more indigenous people of the internet, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm.
Totally,
and,
totally.
And those people are being pushed out and kind of judged in all sorts of ways that the internet was meant to avoid. You know, the internet was set up to give you a second life where, you know, your politics didn't matter and stuff like that. And instead it's turned into this sorting mechanism for classifying and judging people instantly. And that kind of negates that. So everyone has to watch what they do and what they say. Well, not everyone, of course, but you know, there's this kind of expectation that people who want to keep their jobs will, you know, do A instead of B. And so it's just become like an extension of the controls it was meant to circumvent.
Mm. And it's fascinating looking at the origins of the internet and seeing the people who are, you know, driving it and advocating for it so hard be called cyber utopians. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that term. And their vision of the internet was basically a place free from corporate and government control. And the irony is that it's probably the place that is most under corporate and government control in a very real and tangible way, you know?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a place where, yeah, I mean, control systems are constantly being set up and, you know, you're being kind of monetized. Everyone's being monetized charged for things that used to be free and herded into apps. And I think, I think that apps are kind of rubbish because the old web where everything was connected by... you know, everything was on a web page, actually worked a lot better and actually was more interconnected than apps are now.
Completely. Yeah, apps are very kind of siloed. They're very isolated things. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, you like think of like MySpace. I mean, that's kind of my model of how the internet, how a web platform could work. And you just can't do that with an app. You know, it worked as a web page. And, you know, I think... for me, I mean, maybe this is a bit old-fashioned, but my cyber utopia would actually be a web-based utopia with apps just for very specific things.
Mm. No, I love that. I love that idea. I think apps also just take up too much storage on my phone. I have too many of them, and I don't know what half of them do.
Yeah, they double up on each other, and you have them you didn't ask for. You didn't ask for, and they're going on all the time and switching on and reminding you that, you know, that other people are watching or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. It's real spooky. One thing I really like about the song is the video is quite fun. It's like you sort of... dancing in front of a green screen which has various different backgrounds put on it, and then there's like all these different people who are kind of edited in to kind of fly past you while you're having a dance. And I want to know, who are those folks? Are they your family? Are they friends?
Yeah, they're just some friends, people around. One of them's like one of our top conspiracy theorists here in Auckland. Others are people in the arts world, and the video is made by our bass player Andrew Moore, and by my girlfriend Hayley Sayers, and it's a really cool piece of work.
Another really fascinating thing I found about this record is on your Substack, we wrote all about the album. On the track Conflicts with T-Authorities, you say that this is a practically unchanged song that you wrote for The Spies in 1979. So it's about a 40-ish year old track, which is remarkable. And I want to know, why did you feel like putting it on this album now? What made you feel certain to put this one out?
I don't know, just like it never got recorded, and I just played it one day, and I just thought, well, the feelings in this song, actually, for me, these feelings are up to date, and it's kind of weird, because it's kind of the songs, it's kind of a bit, you know, childish nihilism, that's kind of like a trendy pose when you're young, you know, it's kind of punk, but when you get older, it kind of makes sense in a different way. You know, you really do sometimes like just want to break from the pressures of other people's expectations or whatever the song's about. I don't know. But, I kind of related to it in a different way. And I thought, well, I thought it's time to come again. And I kind of like the mood of it now that I use, you know, synthesizers more often in making my music and things like that. I thought, yeah, I can bring out the kind of the darkness in this song a little bit better and make it more submerged and make it more like the mood that the lyric is saying. And I've got, you know, the band I've got now are pretty expert at kind of like finding these moods for me too. Like they know what I'm doing, they know what I want, and they'll get there very quickly into the space that I'm imagining.
Mm. And one of the spaces you're imagining is the island of Dr. Moreau. You've likened the track, the title track, Bad Astrology, to that film. Why do you liken it to that film? And are we talking about the film with, like, Marlon Brando?
Yeah, that classic. One, that crazy, messed up film that wasn't, you know, was kind of, like, ruined by Brando's ego. But it's still, like, I watched it recently, and I just loved it. And it just, like, I'd already written the song, but I thought, here's that song would suit this movie, because he's created all these creatures, and he just wants to be free from the obligation of looking after them, you know? He just wants to be, who knows what he wants, you know? Who knows what Brando wants in the film? But what he doesn't want is responsibility for his creations anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you feel a little bit like that?
And so they just run wild. And so they just run wild by the end.
Right. I need to see that film, because it was his last film. It was Brando's last movie, right?
Yeah, I think so. And he's just so over the top in it. And, you know, he's made up his own costume, and it's amazing. And and it's got Tim Morrison in it too. So there's an little bit extra there for Kiwis. And it's just like, and it's also so 90s. You know, it's like every telling of a classic story tells you something about the era it was made as well. Mm. And yeah, and that one does too.
Mm-hmm. Something I noticed, again, in your Substack article, you mentioned that the band has kind of undergone a change since your last album, which came out during 2020 lockdown. And I think it was your guitarist is now doing bass stuff and also switching between bass and guitar on various songs. Are there any other changes to the lineup on here?
Yeah, well, to make it simple, it's the we just got a new bass player, and that means that the bass player, who was a guitarist, you know, that I'd forced him to play bass, and so he can freely play guitar. And I've always loved the guitar. I used to play guitar, come to get practices, Jamie used to come to practices, pick up my guitar and just play these lovely licks, and I was like, you can really play, I can't, you can, why don't you play lead sometimes now? So it's like he plays lead, and Andy's bass style is kind of a more groove. It's kind of like a, you know, it's simpler, deeper groove kind of bass style. And so I think the song's probably better to dance to and better lead playing on them now. And yeah, I like the feel of the new lineup.
I mean, do you have any plans to go on a tour or play a few shows for this new record, Bad Astrology?
We're playing a show in Auckland at 6:05 Morningside on the 22nd, Saturday the 22nd. We don't have plans to travel yet because, you know, that's kind of, it's just going to cost money really, but, we do, you know, have family in Dunedin and go there from time to time. So we'll play at the Crown someday, you know, within the next year, I'm pretty sure we'll do a gig at the Crown.
Awesome. It'll be very, very exciting to see you and to hear these new tunes. One of the, I think maybe my favorite, my second favorite track, I haven't really decided yet, but I Don't Need the Light is a lovely, very heartfelt song about your having, you know, people you've loved pass on and them sort of guiding you and appearing in different ways. And yeah, I think that's just such a lovely sentiment because it's like you've kind of let go, but you're still, you know, you're still seeing them, you know, and that's the beautiful thing. People you've interacted with and you've loved throughout your life, when they pass on, they never truly leave.
Yeah. I mean, I think when when I think about when I hear a new song that I love, and I think, well, Celia would love this, or Lindsay would love this, then I'm like, I'm connecting with them again. You know, they're giving me something from their personalities. And, you know, I can feel, you know, I can feel validation, or I can just feel like, well, I don't understand something that you did and I need to think about it a bit more, whatever. But it's still, they're still there, you know, it's still, there's still that interaction. But you've kind of, you know, you've also got to let it go and realize that they're the dead and you're the living, you know, and get up in the morning, yeah, and that's what that song's about, yeah.
For sure. But you can also cherish the memory. I think that's something that you definitely do on the song, which we'll play in a very, very short second. I want to thank you so much for coming on, George, and talking to me about this new record. Do you have any final thoughts, words of wisdom you'd like to leave with our lovely audience?
Just, you know, be excellent to each other, I think. It's been said before, but couldn't think of anything else to say, so I said that.
No, I think that's a very, very good thing to leave things. That's a very good set of words to leave the corridor off on. Thank you very much, George. I really appreciate your time. Take care.
Thank you, Jake.
No worries. Thank you.
Namahi.
That was George Henderson from the New Existentialists. We're talking to George about the band's new record, Bad Astrology, which is out now wherever you find your tunes. We're going to be playing the track I Don't Need the Light. I'm going to be playing that for you right now. You are indeed listening to The Big Breakfast Show on Radio 1. Keep it locked. Kia ora.
Seeds, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.